The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 30. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the director of Radio City Playhouse, Harry W. Duncan.
Thank you, Bob Warren. Friends, before we bring you tonight's story, we should like to remind you that the Red Cross reaches into every community in the country in tackling its day-to-day job of service to humanity. As Americans, we are the Red Cross, because the Red Cross in action is America in action. The job for 1949 is tremendous, and $60 million are needed. We respectfully urge you to give generously. It is through the Red Cross that each one of us can give something of our own plenty to those who are sick, hungry, homeless, and frequently hopeless. And now here is tonight's play, true, we think, to the Radio City Playhouse tradition of a good story expertly told. Blind Vengeance by George Balak, starring John Larkin as Emmett with Elspeth Eric as Helen. Attraction 30 on Radio City Playhouse.
I can't imagine what they might be, but I suppose there are worse things than being blind. Maybe one of those things is death. Maybe death is worse than blindness. I don't know. When you can see, there are a lot of little things you take for granted. Striking a match and bringing it unwaveringly to the tip of your cigarette. Buttering a crust of bread neatly. Eating soup without spluttering it all over everything. But when you're blind, you know you're being sloppy and you wish you weren't, but... Oh, well, you wouldn't be expected to know. I was 30 when it happened, and I did everything rather well. Rode, skied, drove. I loved driving. I loved long, sleek, expensive, fast cars. It's a wonderful feeling doing 70 in a good car on a smooth road, especially when your wife's beside you.
Emmett, darling, please, it's too fast.
Helen.
Well, it is. I don't like it. It makes me nervous.
Ah, you leave it to Emmett, boy. Steady as the Rock of
please,
Gibraltar.
Slow down.
You know, that center line reminds me of adhesive tape unwinding from an endless white road.
I think it's smart, Alex, stuff, and I don't like it.
Oh, Helen, for Pete's sake, stop being stuffy. Cars like this are made for speed.
Crazy to take chances like this. I'm asking you. Emmett!
Ease him back, nurse, slowly. That's it. There. These fools that don't know how to drive, how crazy can a man be? All right, Mr. Graves, take it easy.
Oh, it's killing. It's killing.
You'll be all right.
It's like a knife. What is it? What?
Helen.
Helen.
Your wife's all right now. Take it easy.
Who are you?
You're all right.
What happened?
You had an accident in your car.
Where am I?
In the hospital. I'm Dr. Summers. You're in the hospital and you're safe and your wife's right next door. Now take it easy.
Oh, all right.
Another half grain of morphine now. Now just relax, Mr. Graves. You had a bad accident. You're very lucky to be alive.
I... Doctor, my eyes. Why are they... Take these bandages off.
Now, Mr. Graves...
Take them off! You hear me? Take them
Please,
off!
Please, Mr. Graves. Hypodermic nurse.
Yes, sir.
Now this will just... Sting for a second, just for a second.
What are you doing to me? What are you doing?
Just to quiet your nerves.
Why are my eyes bandaged?
Relax, relax. That's it. Easy. There you are, the last of the bandages.
But I can't even tell anything. Whether it's light or dark, not anything.
Well, Mr. Graves, it needn't be such a tremendous handicap. There were thousands of men in the war who overcame it.
Not even the faintest glimmer. I was sure I'd be able to see something, a light bulb, a fire, something.
I know. It's been a terrible shock. I wish we could keep you and your wife here longer, Mr. Graves, but at the moment we're so crowded. I think we'd better go and see your wife now.
Yes, I suppose we had.
It'll be as hard on her as it is on me. Worse, she'll have to live with me, take me around.
Mr. Graves, there's something I've got to tell you. This is one of the times I almost wish I'd gone in for a career that... Mr. Graves, your wife is blind, too.
No! Now that's final. I will not go back to New York where everybody knows me and can feel sorry for me.
All right, Emmett. We'll go up to the cottage.
May I say something?
Certainly, Dr. Summers.
You're both intelligent people. I know how shattered you are in spirit and soul. But you've got to make a decision as to what to do with your lives. You're fortunate in having plenty of money. I don't mean to preach a sermon. Adjustment is a tiresome word, but it's important, very important.
Emmett, we could have Barnes and Mrs. Ransom go up ahead of us. Perhaps, Dr. Summers, you could arrange for somebody to drive us from here.
Of course I can.
Don't be frightened, Emmett. You've always loved the sea. We'll be all right. I know we will.
We were taught how to sign our names in a guide frame, how to go through doors. Every day a man came from the Institute for the Blind and taught us. We had a model of the house made, and we fingered it until we were perfect. We knew how many steps between every room, what furniture stood where. And we learned the 40 yards of shore so that we could stand anywhere and yet still find our way back to the house. The teacher they sent us was a dull-witted chap that had bad breath and... No, I guess he was all right. I guess it was me. But when he finally stopped coming, I was glad, very glad. Helen and I used to practice when we were alone. We practiced going up and down stairs smoothly and confidently. I'd go up and wait for Helen. Then I'd go down and wait for her at the bottom. Then I'd go up and wait for Helen. Oh, it's a real exciting way to spend an evening.
There. I didn't touch the railing once.
Oh, you don't have to be that perfect. Everybody uses the banister when they climb stairs.
The little chair is here.
Uh-huh. Turn right and four steps to the big leather chair against the wall.
Small chair at the head of the stairs. Four steps right and the big leather one.
Everything was where it should be. Everything normal, everything just fine. Except for that small, hard kernel of fear that stuck in my chest like a lump of lead. Always just a little afraid. It wasn't a real frightening sort of fear. Just a tight little knot of dread. As the days dragged on, I began to hear things I'd never heard before. Mrs. Ransom, our cook, would make a noise in the kitchen, and I'd hear it from the bedroom. Or Barnes, our chauffeur handyman, would be in swimming, and I'd hear him over the sound of the surf. I would strain to absorb sound, absorb it with my skin, my hands, the soles of my feet. Helen didn't feel as nervous as I did. I'd lose my bearings for a few seconds, lose my sense of direction, and I'd panic. Just stand still and clench my fists and shake. And that's the way I was the first time it happened. Helen had gone down to the beach with Barnes. Mrs. Ransom was off to get our milk from a neighbor. I was alone in the house. I walked into my bedroom, and right at the door, I knew something was wrong. I walked in and stood in the middle of the room. The skin on my arms turned hot and cold, and a column of ice formed along my spine. I strained. I ached to hear, to sense, to feel. And then I knew someone was in the room with me. Who is it? I can hear you. I know you're there. What's that noise? Well, say something. Say something! Look, I'm blind. I can't see you. It's very frightening not to know and... Well, just don't stand there staring at me. Say something, dear God. Don't you understand? I'm blind. I know you're there. Say something!
I got to get out of here.
Helen! Helen! Mrs. Ransom! Mrs. Ransom, help me! Somebody help me! Helen! Helen!
But, darling, who on earth could have got into the house and up into your bedroom?
I know someone was there. I know it.
It was your imagination, darling. Now, be sensible. It just couldn't happen. That...
Who is it?
It's Mrs. Ransom, Mr. Graves.
Come in.
I was just wondering if you'd like
you
to
You said
have...
you were going after the milk.
Well, I did, Mr. Graves.
Then how are you back so soon?
Mr. Patterson passed me on the road, Mr. Graves. He gave me a lift back.
Well, why didn't you say so?
I'm sorry, Mr.
That's
Graves.
That's all right, Mrs. Ransom. What was it you wanted?
I wondered if you'd like a custard for dessert. The milk's lovely and fresh.
Custard
and
would be very nice, Mrs. Ransom. Thank you.
That's all, Mrs. Ransom.
Yes, Mr. Graves. Supper won't be long.
Could have been her. It could have been anybody. Did Barnes leave you at any time when you were on the beach?
He swam over to the point while I lay in the sun.
You think he came back to the house?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm so edgy. For Pete's sake, let's have a drink.
No, let's not.
Why? What's the matter with you?
I don't enjoy drinking when I can't see the glass and sort of... Anyway, I don't think it's a good idea.
Are we getting a little saintly? We used to be the sops of 81st Street.
Well, you suit yourself. I'm going to clean up for dinner.
I started then to think about killing myself. I wondered what it would be like. Would it be quiet and serene and... would it be... Well, I started to think about it. I'd even suggested it to Helen. She was very annoyed and very upset. She said there was always hope. That there were things like Brahms and Toscanini and fresh air and birds and holding each other's hands. She made me feel ashamed for ever thinking that suicide could be a part of people who love each other and who are normal. One day, Dr. Summers came to visit us. We were very glad to see him. We thought there might still be a chance that... Well, we were very glad to see him. He was always very cheerful.
I think you're both looking splendid. Splendid.
Thank you, Doctor. Terribly nice of you to drop in on us.
Well, I hope to come more frequently. My sister's bought a place up the way a bit.
You mean we'll be neighbors?
Well, not quite neighbors. It's the old Harlington house, the big white one with the red roof.
Oh, it's an enchanting house. You'll love it. I used to play in it as a child.
Dr. Summers.
Yes?
Do you think it's possible for a blind person to... Well, to go into a room and think he hears some person in it when it's really empty?
I think it's not only possible, I think it's liable to be frequent.
Emmett had a very unfortunate experience. He thought he heard somebody in his bedroom one time.
I know I heard somebody.
Of course you did. You're all keyed up to hear something, and your brain accommodated you.
You mean I've too much imagination?
Yes, you have. There's nothing unbalanced about it.
But it's terrifying.
Of course it is. Your mind reaches out and grasps at shadows. The shadows can't be held, can't be distinguished, and it is frightening. Don't let experiences like this upset you. You'll get over them in time.
There was somebody in that room.
Darling, why don't we just forget all about it?
Excellent idea. Everybody is blind in one way or another.
Is everybody unbalanced, too?
I think so. In one way or another.
That night after Dr. Summers left was the first night I had to talk myself to sleep. I was afraid to get up and get a sleeping powder. I was afraid I might take the wrong thing and make myself sick. I didn't want to wake Helen. It seemed churlish to wake Mrs. Ransom of Barnes. So I talked to myself. Not loud. Low and softly. Nobody could hear me. Helen slept in the next room. When I talked to myself, it shut out the disturbing sounds. All the millions and millions of other sounds. The night, the sea, the crickets. I never knew there were so many sounds. To try to keep the sounds out, I'd lie on my back and gently rub my chest with both hands from side to side, and I'd talk very softly. Nothing but the night. Alone. And it's cool. And good night to sleep. And good night to sleep. What's that? Helen, is there someone? Whoever you are, you're at the window. I'm going to get out of bed and come over. If you want to kill me, why this is your chance.
the blind. It's the blind.
It's just the Venetian blind. Dear God, am I going crazy?
I couldn't go back to bed. I felt for my robe, my slippers. I gripped the wall and walked carefully to the door of my room. My hand glided over the chair, the bureau, felt the open door. I walked the 10 steps to the big leather chair, then 4 more to the top of the stairs. I made the left turn, and suddenly there was nothing there. No wall, no banister, no small chair, just space. And though it seemed like a million years, I balanced on the edge of a knife, my arms beating the air uselessly. And then, like a lump of clay, I fell. I'm halfway down the stairs.
Oh, my darling, what happened? What are you doing out of bed like this? Barnes! Darling, are you hurt?
I fell.
I'm all right.
My side, I...
Darling, you shouldn't get up at night all by yourself.
Help me up.
Barnes!
I'm coming, Mrs. Graves.
Something's gone. Something's holding me. For God's sakes, what's holding me?
What is it, Mrs. Graves? What's happened? But Mr. Graves, are you hurt? What is it?
Help him. Get him upstairs.
Oh, the belt of his robe got tangled in the railing.
Oh.
Yeah, there. Now, lean on me, Mr. Graves. Are you all right?
No, don't lift me up. Just let me sit here a minute. Helen, sit here with me, please.
Is there anything on the stairs, Barnes?
Well, no, Mrs. Graves.
All right, you can go back to your room.
Are you sure there's...
You heard what she said? That's what you paid for to do as you're told. Now go back to your room.
He doesn't mean it, Barnes. Please, go back to your room. If I need you, I'll call you.
Okay, Mrs. Graves. If you want me, just shout. I won't go to sleep until you tap on my door.
Thank you, Bob. Emmett, what happened? Darling, you're shaking like a leaf.
I thought I heard somebody at the window, and I got up. It was the Venetian blind slapping against the sill. I thought I'd come downstairs for a while. I got to the head of the stairs, and I fell.
Are you all right?
My ribs, it hurts me to breathe. I think I hit my side when I fell. Oh, Helen, I'm so afraid. I might have been killed.
Now, there, now. Please, let's go back up and get you to bed. I'll bring you a glass of milk.
Helen.
What?
I've got it. I've got it now.
Got what?
Somebody moved the chair.
Somebody what?
Help me up, quickly.
What is it, Emma?
Help me up. Can't you understand English?
Yes, dear, I can understand English. Hang on to the rail. All right?
Yes. Yes, I'm all right.
What do you mean, somebody moved the chair?
I got to feel it. To feel it. To know that... Well, where is it?
I don't understand what you're trying to say.
Where's the chair? Where's the little straight back chair that we feel every time we start downstairs and every time we get to the top? Where is it?
Well, it must be someplace.
It isn't here. Do you understand? It isn't here.
Is it?
Somebody's trying to kill us. Trying to kill us. Do you hear?
I'm going to call Dr. Summers.
Good thing he didn't fall all the way down.
Is he all right, Doctor?
Of course I'm all right.
You've no broken bones, but you're covered with bruises.
Somebody move that chair. At least Emmett thinks that... Well, it isn't there now, anyway.
What chair?
Well, there's supposed to be a small straight-back chair right at the top of the stairs. We touch it every time we start down, and then we always know that when we feel it on the way up, there's only one step left.
The little chair with the plaid seat?
Yes.
I can see it from here.
You what?
Yes, a little straight-back chair with a plaid seat.
You're lying. You're trying to trick me.
Mr. Graves, I can see a plaid chair from where I'm standing in this room. It's at the head of the stairs against the railing. I'm not used to being called a liar. I realize you're upset, but I'd appreciate it if you'd remember your manners. Good night.
Emmett, I can't stand this. You've got to get a grip on yourself.
But you couldn't feel it.
You must have pushed it out of the way when you fell.
I didn't.
Why did you leave your room in the first
place? Oh, I wish I could kill myself. Even if I went to hell, I wish... This is hell. Right now, it's hell.
Emmett, I'm upset, too. Now, please don't talk that way. You've just got to get hold of yourself, darling. We can't go on like this. If you're going to be hysterical and imagine...
Look, I'm telling you that somebody moved that chair. Either Mrs. Ransom or Barnes. Somebody's trying to murder me.
Emmett!
Deliberately or accidentally, one of them moved it.
Good night, Emmett. I'll see you in the morning. Try to sleep as late as you can.
Helen, don't go. I was alone again, back in bed. Alone with the noises. Only this time it hurt to rub my chest. The shadows crept in like a thousand visions that can't quite be seen. I was on a horse, galloping under the skies. I could see Helen as she used to be. Lovely, gay, gentle, tender. And then everything seemed to come together and go round and round and round. And away at the back of everything came the blackness of sleep. Closer and closer and closer and closer. A couple of weeks went by, and gradually the pain went out of my ribs, and I began to forget. Helen and I walked by the sea every morning before breakfast. It began to be good to be alive. We were learning Braille. The whole new world of reading started to unfold to us. And then, one night, it all came back in a sickening, ghastly rush. I'd been asleep for hours, and suddenly I was awake. The hair began to stand up on the back of my neck. A noise had wakened me. A noise I hadn't thought of for a long time, the noise of a light switch. Someone flipped the light switch in my room. I tried to sit up in bed, but my muscles wouldn't respond. I just lay there, bathed in sweat. I knew there was somebody in the room, but I couldn't speak. I couldn't move. I just lay there, the words bursting at my lips, but nothing would come out. Is there somebody there? Barnes? I can hear you, Barnes. Barnes, please don't hurt me. I'm in bed. I'm helpless. I'll give you money. I've already arranged that you and Mrs. Ransom will be taken care of. You don't have to worry, Barnes. Barnes, please. Or kill me if you have to, but say something. Say something. What are you doing? What are you doing? Dear God in heaven, help. Oh, thy kingdom come, thy will be done enough as it is in heaven. I did hear it. I did hear it. Helen! Helen! I'm coming, Helen! I'm coming! Oh! I'm coming, Helen! Just a minute! Helen!
Helen!
Darling!
Helen! Helen, help me!
I'm here, darling. I'm here.
There, he's in that closet. I found him. He passed me. He's in the closet. A man. Hold on.
Hang on to yourself. Hang on to yourself. You had a gun in here once, didn't you?
I don't know. Barnes has one.
It is Barnes.
No.
Yes.
Do something. We can't just stand here.
Mrs. Graves.
Barnes, come here quickly.
But who if it isn't Barnes, then who's in there?
Barnes!
What is it, Mrs. Graves? Mrs. Graves, what's the matter? What is
Barnes,
it?
Barnes, there's somebody in that closet. Mrs. Graves felt him go past her. He was in my room first.
Well, I'll soon find
out.
No,
Barnes, wait. Now, be careful. He may be...
Well, if there's somebody in the closet, the best way to get him out is to open the door.
What is it?
Well, I'm sorry, Mrs. Graves. There's no one there. The closet's empty.
I can't stand it any longer, Emma. Not any longer.
We can't stay outside any longer, Helen. It's cold. We'd better go back in. Barnes and Mrs. Ransom will be worried. Darling, there was nobody in the closet, and it was all our imagination. We've had a bad shock. And, honey, don't you understand? I've had all this, too. The chair, the hundreds of times I've thought that I was hearing things, and it's just being blind. It's just being blind. Now, come on. We've had a terrible fright, and it's late, and we can't sit out here all night.
How high have we come?
Oh, we've come too high. We just passed the end of the rear wall. We shouldn't go any farther.
Go to the top. What difference does it make if we do fall over? Maybe it would be best to fall over and down and end it all together.
Helen.
Why not? Why not just end it now easily and quickly together?
Stop it.
I just can't stand it. I just can't stand being blind. I hate it. I hate everything about it. I'll never adjust, never, as long as I live.
Helen, it'll be all right. Darling, I know what you're feeling. I felt it. I'm uncoiling somehow. It's going to be better now. But this is a stage we both go through. I went through it first.
I could jump from here. This would be high enough. Must be 100 feet down even from here. Would the sea be very cold now?
Helen, stop it. Let's get down out of here.
Would the rocks be hard enough to kill me from here?
Helen, stand up.
All right.
Now, take my arm.
Yes, Kevin.
Now.
It's a lovely night. There's a cloud over the moon, and the sea is very black. But every once in a while, a star catches it, and it's lovely.
What did you say?
You look very silly in that coat.
You...
And rather stupid. When you relax your face, it looks idiotic a little. Not much, but a little. And even from here, I can see your beard, stubby and dirty.
Thank God, what's happening?
I can see, Emmett. I've been able to for some time now, for about 6 weeks.
Then you...
I switched the chair. I was in your room. I rushed back to my own and screamed because I hate you.
Helen.
You made me blind, and you made my face a twisted, horrible mask.
No.
The scars are blue, Emmett. They're pale blue and purple, and they're all over my face and neck.
Helen, no.
You did that. You and your slick, fast, expensive automobile and your puling, stupid, smart-aleck little mind. You were showing off at 70 miles an hour. Oh. I was hoping you'd jump off here yourself or cut your throat or turn on the gas in the kitchen, anything.
Helen, keep away from me.
It'll only take a moment.
Helen, don't touch me, Helen.
Go right on the edge now, Emmett. If you move so much as 6 inches, you'll fall over.
Helen, no.
So I'm just going to reach
out. Helen, don't.
I...
Let go, Helen, let go.
Emmett.
We must have been very near the edge. She fell all the way, right down to the rocks. I slipped, stumbled, but managed to keep my balance. I sat there all night, wondering what she looked like down there, all broken and... Barnes found me the next morning. I told him I pushed her, and why I pushed her. But they don't believe me. Dr. Summers feels I should be kept here. In this sanitarium, they call it. He doesn't believe me. But you... You believe me, don't you?
I've just heard Blind Vengeance, Attraction 30 on Radio City Playhouse, as written by George Bellack and directed by Harry W. Junkin. Emmett was John Larkin. Helen was Elspeth Eric. Other players included Paul Nugent, Leora Thatcher, and Lee Nelson. The music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. Radio City Playhouse is supervised for the National Broadcasting Company by Richard P. McDonough.
This is Harry Junkin again. Our sincere thanks to John Larkin and Elspeth Eric for a truly memorable performance. Please join us next week for another exciting story on Radio City Playhouse. Good night, everybody.
Bob Warren speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.